Now I can say, if you will join me in the scripture reading by turning to the scripture reading found in the new Bibles placed in the pews. We are in the book of Joshua at the first verse. When the entire nation of Israel had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood. Carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you will camp tonight.' Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in the time to come, "What do those stones mean to you?" then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be the Israelites a memorial forever." This is the word of God for us on this day. Thanks be to God. The Australian psychotherapist Carl Jung indicates that what differentiates human persons from all the rest of the animal kingdom is our desire for and use of symbols, that we are creatures who use signs to suggest something else beyond the sign itself. And there is no more unique symbols than the monuments that have been erected in the past and which we dedicate this weekend. Indeed, persons have always used signs and symbols to convey and communicate, particularly professional persons who have the opportunity to name their own epitaph on their tombstone. For an example, there was the doctor who always chafed under the restriction that he could not advertise, so he had placed on his tombstone, "Office upstairs." And then there was the judge who simply had the two words placed on his tombstone, "Final decree." And the henpecked husband who listed his three wives and then said, "The defense rests." So on this weekend, as we pause before the statues and stones, we ask, what are their purpose? What mean these stones? This question recalls for us an incident out of the Old Testament book of Joshua, when it was predicted that a similar inquiry would be raised by the children of Israel. For 50 years, the people of Israel had wandered through the desert wilderness, seeking their movement from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. And at last, they come to the last natural barrier that stands between they and the land that they promised, the Jordan River. But it's springtime, and the Jordan River is swollen, so that they're unable to walk across. And so Joshua orders that the Ark of the Covenant, that symbol of God's presence with his people, be brought to the front of the line. And the priests carry it, and as they approach the water, they rage in their swollen flood state. And the moment that the first priest's feet touch the water divides. Much like their forebears at the Red Sea, the men who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant are able to move into the center of the riverbed. And all 12 tribes of the nation of Israel pass over from one side to the other in safety on a dry riverbed. And as part of the celebration of the mighty acts of God on behalf of his people in opening up the Jordan, Joshua orders that 12 stones be taken from the riverbed and placed on the bank in a perpetual witness as they sign a statue, a monument, to the memory of the mighty acts of God that had taken place. But this raises the question, as we make our ways through life, what signs and symbols do we leave behind of the mighty grace and power of God that operates through our lives? What are the reminders of God's wondrous love that flow from us? And the answer comes in two ways when we ask, what mean these stones? In the first place, the monuments of stone and soul are meant to communicate a commemoration. All through history and the experience of souls, there are the reminders of the action of God. And when we need to ask, what mean these stones to each generation? Because in our complacency, we're apt to forget what God has done for us as a people. The memorials lose their significance when they're detached from the events they are meant to commemorate. But yesterday does have an impact on today. And lives lived out yesterday cast a shadow on us who continue on today. Their achievements, their accomplishments, their sacrifices recalls for us God's power and presence available to us in our day. We gather on this day to offer thanks to God for the life and labor, the work and the witness of members of this congregation who in this past year have moved from the church militant to the church triumphant. Their lives stand as monuments to us as we recall and remember all the goodness which flowed through their lives, made available to us by the grace of God. Mifflin, Virginia, there is a statue right in the middle of the highway that runs through the center of the village. It's a statue of a country doctor. And the story is told that he was a resident of that little village. He was greatly beloved for all the sacrifice that he shared as he serviced through generations the people of that region. It was in a day when doctors were willing to make house calls, and so it was the town, in gratefulness, wanted to erect a statue while he was yet alive. But the doctor said no. In his extreme modesty, he said that would not be appropriate. When I die, just bury me wherever I am. And so it was on a day that the doctor had a coronary massive heart attack in the very spot in the center of town. And based on his wishes, the town erected a monument right there in the middle of the road, so that all the traffic that enters and leaves Mifflin has to go around it. It's a reminder to everyone of the great sacrifice and service that doctor gave to that community. In commemorating these lives on this day, we come upon great monuments, not of stone, but of sacrifice, that communicate to us goodness. For God acts not only in the events of history on behalf of his people, but also through the lives of individuals to communicate his love. Secondly, monuments of granite and greatness are meant to challenge us to new commitment. Figuratively and literally, the stones demand from us that we reaffirm the faith and the trust that is part and parcel of that moment. You see, that pile of stones on that shoreline of the river was not meant for the Israelites alone, because the historian writes that all people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord our God. The stones were meant to challenge successive generations to renew their commitment to the Lord their God. Monumental lives cause new directions, new courage, new energies. As someone else has said, no one ever erected a statue in the memory of a man or a woman who thought it best to leave well enough alone. Our lives are living monuments to the grace and the salvation of God. And we confess to all the loving acts of God in our lives. More by our life than by our words. More by our labor and our witness of what God is doing. Is the evidence of God's grace transmitted and translated through our lives. And so it's Daniel Webster who says that we carve upon immortal minds, imbuing high principles with the justice of God and the love of humanity. And we engrave on those tablets something that no amount of time can efface, and that will brighten and brighten through all eternity. Our lives become the very living stone blocks which challenge the world for a new commitment. Apparently, the stones were still in place when the chronicle wrote these words, because he writes, they are there still to this day. They have subsequently disappeared. Time and change have erased their existence. But when the greatness of God is etched, not in granite, but in the grandeur of a human soul, when the love of God is commissioned in lives of sacrifice, it's then that we understand the meaning of the stones. Thomas Edison, that man who had invented 1,093 different inventions, was coming to the end of his life at 84 years of age. Through one of his inventions, news of the last hours of his life were communicated across the nation. Some thought that it would be appropriate to go ahead and have all the electricity shut off upon his death, but that was deemed to be both unsafe and too costly. And then that moment came, 3:24 a.m. on October 18, 1931. And the word went forth, the light is out. The man who had caused inventions that had eased the burdens of humankind had died. And so it was that at the moment of his funeral, for just a moment, the lights across the nation were lowered. And indeed, not a moment was skipped in the progress of humankind. Our lives are ongoing. And when monuments to the endeavors that we take part. For monuments are meant to communicate the commemoration and to challenge a commitment. And this is the answer to what mean these stones. Let us pray. Lord, be with us on this day as we remember before you those who have provided monuments of living for us. Grant that we might renew our commitment in your service. All in Jesus' name. Amen.